Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. We welcome you to Student Teacher to Student Radio Show on the internet. Thank you, Nazmi Marzi, for the great news. Listeners that tune in every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. Arizona time, we thank you so much. And I want you to remember something as the show goes on for the next 58 minutes, that you have a great mind, a great mind. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that there's an awesome creator. We forget that we are awesomely created. So I just wanted to remind you of that this morning as we go into our show about mental health conditions. We have a caller on air, 824 number. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Yeah, good morning. This is Tom, President of the Student Advisory Board. How are you doing?
Very good, Tom Baker. It's good to have you on our show this morning. We know you haven't been feeling very well lately, so it's great to have you back, and you always have such great things to share with us. So stay tuned in as we go to our next caller this morning, and this is another Arizona number here, a 213 number.
Morning, Professor Apple. This is Dorothy, research
good
consultant.
Morning. Oh, yes, what a resource consultant you are. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Dorothy. And thank you so much for all the work you do to prepare yourself mentally and physically for this show. And we've got a great show this morning. We've got a show that's going to help people with mental health conditions to identify some things. This is actually... And I did forget to put part one on there because it is part one, because we're going to talk about some very common mental health conditions that happen very often to people that they're not aware of. And so this morning we'll be talking about something called codependency and how we can identify that. So we want you to share with our listeners what our show is going to, you know, focus on this morning. Would you do that for us?
Okay. Ignoring mental health conditions may affect success. Professor Apple agrees with most mental health researchers that any behavioral and emotional conditions that are ignored from childhood and throughout adulthood are going to affect our success at school, college, and work. Specifically, conditions that are passed down from one generation to the next, such as codependency, repressed emotions, and disregard for their own needs are the quickest ways to identify this condition. Listen to co-host Nazim Rashid as he joins Professor Applewhite and many guests as they share in this positive discussion. Hear the show, and then also I'd like you to know you can hear any shows just by clicking on the archive.
Yes, a lot of people are not aware of that, Dorothy, that, you know, they tell me, oh, I missed the show, and I'm trying to make them aware that they can go back and listen to a show. Or if they start listening to a show and they can't finish it and it holds their interest, because, I mean, Saturday morning is a busy morning for many people. And we welcome them to go back in and click the button that it's very easy to find. It's right in the middle of the screen. You just click on the show, any other shows that we've done, and it will give you the full show again. I think that's one of the reasons why we went to the radio on the Internet, because it's so useful for us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you use the regular radio, the show is gone. There's no way to retrieve the show, you know, but here we have a way to retrieve the show, and it's great for people who are in different countries, because the time zones are so, you know, crazy that some people are listening to the show at 12 midnight in their country when it's 10 to 11 in the morning here in Arizona. So this is a good way for those that are in severely different time zones to go back and play this message for your audience, for your school. One of the schools I know for a fact that listens to our show and writes us quite frequently is Grace Orphanage. They have a school in India, and the students there listen to our show, and we're finding out that there are many students there who are at 17 or more years old, and they stay with the school helping out or whatever. They're still trying to place them and with responsible people that can help them go to work or go to school. And so we praise God for Grace Orphanage doing what they're doing and keeping the students until they're really ready, mature-wise, to go out. So our prayers go out to them. If Grace Orphanage, if you're listening right now, we send our prayers out to you in India right now and to so many orphanages here in the United States that are taking the time to say, just because you're 17 doesn't mean you're ready to go out there and get a job and go to school, go to college. Let us help you and support you. Let us put you in contact with someone from White Apple Institute. So we really appreciate that. We have another comment. We have another person coming online right now, and we want to thank them very much for joining us. One moment. Here's a 418 number. This is Professor Applewhite. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. This is Doc Bell. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I just wanted to thank you for the invite to come on the show and say hello. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. I'm not able to stay on with you this morning. I'm on my way in to a memorial service for a mother of peace. And so I'm very excited to be able to go and just to offer incense for her passing on and to thank her for all the wonderful things she's done for the people on this planet. And to thank you and you all for the wonderful things that you're doing. And please, don't stop. Keep on. It is so important that
you
keep on doing the work that you're doing, okay?
Thank you so much. We really appreciate soon-to-be Dr. Polnitz for her Beverly, Doc Bev, she's called, in many circles for sharing that. And that kind of encouragement always keeps us going, okay? So we thank you very much, and happy Mother's Day again to you.
Okay,
and today we're going to be talking about codependency, which is one of the things that we find many times with mothers is they can't break away from not being needed anymore. And so we're going to be talking about that today. And if you find any mothers out there that you think would benefit from the show, please guide them to our website so they can hear the show again. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
It's archived. I don't know if you heard that part before you came in. the show is archived so that you can listen to any show again and share it with other people.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. I will, and thank you again. And have a wonderful show, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, that was very nice to have that caller wish us well, wasn't it, Dorothy? Hello, Dorothy?
Yes. Wasn't that wonderful? Yes.
Now, we have many messages that come in to us that are very encouraging like that, telling us to continue the work, and we must do that no matter what condition that we are in physically or emotionally. We try at White Apple Institute to overcome that and to teach others how to overcome that so that they can be, so they can gain strength from within and continue on a successful path. And so gaining that strength from within means not ignoring what may be going on with you. And that's a really big issue with people, is ignoring their mental health condition. There's a lot of stigmas out there about mental health, and that's one of the reasons why many people do not want to acknowledge mental health conditions, because they don't want to be called crazy. And you see, we avoid that word. Most psychologists, like myself, avoid the word crazy because it has such a negative connotation, negative meaning to it, and it doesn't make people feel good. And one of the things that we try to do at White Apple Institute is to make people feel better. So when they hear our show, we recognize the reality of what they may be dealing with, but we also recognize that there is a way out. Don't you agree, Dorothy?
Yes.
There's a way out, okay? And that's what's important. Tom can elaborate a little bit more on that. Let's take this next caller, Tom, and we're going to have you talk about how people ignore the mental health conditions that they're in, because you're a member of NAMI, which is the National Association for Mental Illness, and we'd like you to speak a little bit on that, okay? We'll be right back with you. One moment. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. And who am I speaking with?
Nazim Rashid.
Nazim Rashid. Thank you so much. Our co-host is joining us this morning, and I'm sure he has some wonderful things to share with us about codependency. As a matter of fact, it's a chapter in your book, if I'm not mistaken, right, Nazim?
Yes, the sixth chapter. Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so we'd like you to touch a little bit on what you have written in your book, Reconnected, so that if people want to know more about this subject, they can certainly put their name on the pre-order list, either by connecting with White Apple Institute or by calling or connecting with your, I think it's your email directly.
Yes.
And
yes.
So we'll get that information going towards the end of the show as our resource consultant will put together a nice little promotion for you, okay? Well, we're going to listen to what Tom was going to say about people ignoring their mental health conditions. And knowing that that will affect their success at school and work. Well, actually, they don't know it. They don't know it. Because if they did know it, many of them would agree at least to recognize, which is the first step. Isn't that right, Tom?
That's true. Well, I can tell you my own personal story. I was taking some prescription medications that were causing me to hallucinate and get really crazy. Oh, oops, you don't use that word, but I mean, I was out of
no.
it.
Yeah, but we understand what you mean. We understand what you mean.
Yeah, but anyway, and I was hallucinating and everything, but I was afraid everybody was out to get me, the FBI, the CIA, and everybody. and they wanted to tell a psychiatrist about it, but I was afraid he'd report me to all these agencies. And I, one day I got hallucinating so bad, I went to the hospital and they sorted the whole thing out, found mm-hmm. it was medications, but I'd been on them for about a year by that time, and they couldn't completely straighten them out. But I went to different psychiatrists, and one of the problems, I'll talk about codependency specifically mm-hmm. today, because that's the subject. One of the problems that people that are codependent have is, if you're codependent, that means you rely on an relationship that's bad for both of you. Like mm-hmm. an alcoholic who doesn't go to work because he drinks too much, whose wife constantly calls into work for him, and when he's got a party to go to and he's drunk at another party and it's a company party, calls mm-hmm. in and helps him and stuff like that. Okay, well, that's a bad relationship. Mm-hmm. And people live in these relationships sometimes for years,
yes.
and it works out really bad. So what they do is they go to a codependent group. Well, the first thing that happens in a codependent group, there's counselors and stuff like that. But what I've discovered, and I'm codependent somewhat myself,
mm-hmm.
Is that counselors, many of them have codependent qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then they're there in a codependent meeting, and they're having with codependent counselors, and sometimes the other people are codependent too, and it's very hard to get out of the cycle. And also, it's sometimes the definition is a little nebulous. Do you know what?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what
the
word nebulous means, but it means kind of gray area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hard one to deal with. I think counseling's good for that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other things that people should know about mental illness. One is if you're paranoid and you're afraid that people are out to get you, they're not. You know what I mean? Go see a psychiatrist. Don't be afraid. Two is there's two common mental illnesses. One is paranoid schizophrenia. One is
We will be talking about that further down the road.
Okay, I won't talk about it then.
Yeah, no, it's okay for you to mention that, of course. There's no problem with that at all. I'm just letting you know we will be doing a show focused on some of the things that we see within the classrooms,
okay.
across the board in America and other countries. So it's no problem with you mentioning that at all. There's
okay.
so many that go overlooked, you know, and you know, codependency is one of those learned behaviors, okay? It's learned behaviors that usually are passed down from one generation to the next generation. And so that's a hard thing to overcome. All mental illness doesn't pass down from one generation to another, but codependency is because it's a learned behavior. So that means that as a child, and we talked about modeling behavior last week, as a child, you're looking at behavior in front of you and you begin to start modeling what you see, and that is that relationship addiction, okay? Addicted to having a relationship with people and having a one-sided relationship that usually is very destructive and abusive many times. And I think that's what you were leading to a moment ago.
Yeah.
It's very hard to have to find, and I'm sure Nazim will elaborate on this even more, but please feel free to jump in, Nazim, on this one. That I say that the way that I like to lead my life and my friendships, my associations with other people, is that I want it to be a mutually beneficial relationship. And I break that down for some of our listeners that may have some challenges with the English language. Please understand that. I'm going to break that down a little bit so that you can get it. And if you don't understand some of the things that we say sometimes, feel free to write us and ask us what did we mean by that particular phrase. But emotionally beneficial relationship means that I get something from the relationship, as well as the person that I'm in a relationship with gets something. And so we both leave mutually, equally, with something that we've gained from each other. And that's the difference between a mutually beneficial relationship or a healthy relationship versus a codependent relationship that is one-sided and destructive. Would you agree, Nazim?
Yes, but remember, the key word is healthy. I'm glad you said that. Healthy.
The key word is healthy, right.
Healthy, because right. If you don't have that in there, the classic codependent couple, they are getting their needs met. Both of them are getting it. It's a win-win for both of them.
Right.
The classic codependent situation. It's not healthy, but they're both right. getting their needs met.
Right.
You see, so what you said, very matter of fact, if I can interject a clear classic example of the alcoholic husband and the enabling wife.
Yes.
You see, if the man, matter of fact, I'm looking at my codependent chapter here. I quoted one paragraph. I said, if the man is an alcoholic, he needs someone who is going to support him in his alcoholism. If
right.
he can't stand up, he needs someone there to hold him up and
right.
cover up his faults.
Right.
She, being a codependent or enabler, needs to have someone who is going to protect her and give her the image of a strong husband.
Mm-hmm.
This good husband is providing and maintaining the household and is not going to expect her to be strong within and independent.
Mm-hmm.
He will also tell her sometimes he loves her.
Right.
Her self-esteem and self-image are very low, so she pretends to feel good in this native image of a marriage.
Mm.
You see? Now,
yes.
That projection is her personal esteem or standard that she is internalizing. She doesn't know how to get her real needs met, so she lives a life of pretense with a man who also has self-esteem issues to contend with. Together, they're happy, right?
Right.
So
right.
don't ask him to lead a life of sobriety, moral behavior, healthy thinking and living. Don't ask her to develop her own self-esteem, self-image, honor her own spirit within, honor her own spirituality and independence. If they did that, then they would have to really look at themselves, and they can't do that. Oh, no.
Right.
So
right.
That would take a great deal of work and acceptance of their higher self. Denial yes. is more convenient, after all. It
yes.
is what they're used to doing. See?
Mm-hmm.
It is an acceptable
Denial.
Pattern of behavior. Denial is more convenient. It's right there. It's very familiar. It's learned from their parents. Wounded
yes.
children come from wounded parents. I kind of
there you go.
Right
That's
there.
What we were talking about a moment ago. That generation to generation, you know, that's why codependency is so important to understand, because it is a learned behavior. You're absolutely right. And so the older adult has learned it, you know, throughout their life of how to manipulate and get someone to enable them. And or to be enabled by being needed. I need to have you need me, okay, which is an interesting
right.
statement, okay? And you fell right into the title of the show, which is ignoring mental health conditions that may affect success. Ignoring is that denial that you spoke about, okay?
Right.
When we just ignore it. We don't want to even think about it. We know it's destructive. We know it's hurting us, but we don't want to... We don't want to acknowledge it. And so you're going to be very surprised at what I'm going to say to you in the next few minutes about teachers and codependency, because we've got to get that in, because we have a lot of teachers listening, and I want them to listen carefully to what I'm going to say in a moment. We have another caller, so let me go ahead and take her in on the switchboard here. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning, this is Maria.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's good to hear from you always.
Thanks.
I hope you're feeling better also.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we always appreciate your questions. You've got such interesting questions that you give us to really think about. And so please, if you have any questions, feel free to let us know that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Because this is quite a very, very interesting topic that is many times overlooked. And now I'm going to talk about teachers for a moment, and I'm going to explain that a little bit about how teachers get into this codependency, and just as much as we do as parents, okay, or as Nazim was saying, married couples and their relationships. You see, teachers who do not develop a life outside of the classroom, especially you see this with those who are divorced for many years or widowed for many years, and they delve into their profession. Now, this could be applicable to any profession, but because White Apple Institute deals with students and teachers, I wanted to focus a little bit on that for the teachers out there listening, is that we look at students when we're codependent as symbolically, so that what happens is that throughout the semester or the school year, our students become our, they fulfill a need for us, a need to be needed. And so when the student begins to mature, and this happens a lot when you see the movement throughout high school, especially, or middle school, because now the student is beginning to change. And if someone is codependent, a teacher's codependent, it's very hard for them to accept that the student doesn't need them the way they needed them before. And so that can cause some disruption in the way they interact with a student or interact with others, period, because there's this sense of I'm not needed anymore. And so symbolically, they take that same energy, that unhealthy energy that they had a relationship with one student, and they project that onto another one. They find another student who is in need of some nurturing, which is nothing wrong with that, but it becomes, again, a destructive relationship if the student begins to move on and move away from the teacher's overbearing need to be needed. Does that make sense to anyone, what I just said just now?
Yes, it does. It's like
sure. Parents
trying to let go of teenagers growing up.
Yes. Same thing with that's right, exactly. It's the same situation with parents looking at their teenagers growing up. And, you know, this is where you find the most, the majority of people that ignore their codependency. It's because, you know, we talk so much about students and wanting to help students, but we forget sometimes that our job is to empower students to support and help themselves. So we are not the ones who are responsible for this student's success. We are a tool. We are one of the resources. But we are not the ones who make it happen. The student makes it happen, and that's why our first show that we did on student-to-teacher radio show was about when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Remember, Nazim?
That's right.
Well, yeah, you remember that
yep,
show?
Yep, that's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get into really looking at teachers and their need to have someone in their life that they can, what's the word I'm looking for, to nurture, because they don't have anyone else to nurture. Maybe their children have grown on, or maybe they didn't even have any children. Do you know what I mean? And so their students become their children. Quite an overbearing situation that hurts the teacher more than it hurts the student. The student benefits in a way because the student has had some nurturing that maybe they wouldn't have had on another level. But now the teacher is left trying to find that other individual. It's like, next, who can I nurture, and who's going to need me now?
Right.
Okay? I need somebody to need me.
Right. And that's the same with bullying also, like you mentioned last time.
Yes, yes. The same thing, that unhealthy need to bully someone, right, Nazim? Because we're feeling such low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is totally associated with codependency.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that's a product of looking at a person with codependency. Tell us a little bit more about your chapter, Nazim, on codependency and how it relates to a person being a person's success being affected, success at work and school, or attaining any of their goals in life, how that can interrupt.
Well, first of all, it's going to interrupt it. Now it's important to understand that codependent couples, some of them, they live successful lives, all depending on how you define success.
Right.
I mean, a lot of them are maintaining addicts. They can keep a job, so forth, and they can get their bonuses and promotions and pay their bills and have cars and have investment programs and have businesses. A lot of them can do all those things and do them quite well from the outside looking in. They're doing quite well, you know. So a lot of them can argue with you saying, what are you talking about? I'm doing fine. I got my own company here. I got a beautiful wife. I got a beautiful husband, wonderful husband. Provide. The kids are there in college. We're doing fine. What are you talking about? You know, so a lot of them can say, you're crazy. I'm doing fine, you know, and so forth. But it's important to understand when we're talking to people, even right now, we're talking to their inner child. We're talking beyond what we see into a child inside of them who knows the truth and knows what happened or recognizes when the truth or the light is coming around. They know. And when I was doing a lot of counseling, I would tell them, I'm talking to not you, I'm talking to that person inside of you who knows what I'm talking about. Because the person I'm looking at physically might be just full of denial. They don't want to be there. Their probation officer said they had to be there. They're, who knows what, in order for them to stay in a group home, they had to be there in the counseling. So they're sitting in church because they feel they have to be there, and so forth. And so now I'm talking to a person within. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, as I do that, after a while, I see a change in their countenance. I see a change in their affect. I see it.
Yeah.
Because what happens is that as that inner child is nurtured, then they in turn show to the child without that a change is coming, and we like this. So we want to always speak to that child within. You know, you'll never have the real success, the real happiness, the real joy, the real passion for life until you honor that child within and do with a healthy couple, like I mentioned before. The healthy husband or a healthy wife will make sure that the other person feels good within themselves, not good just to be pleasing to them, but good within themselves. That's important, you see. So that's how we help others become successful, by having the amount of health, life promotion, and cooperation as a basis for them relating to people. You see, that kind of a mutual exchange of information, a mutual benefit, healthy benefit, having as your goal that someone else is happy because of your interaction. Mm-hmm. You see, this kind of situation. So now about what I need to have is how can I make sure someone else is doing okay?
Yeah.
You see? From that perspective, that's what we're talking about. But you can't have that when you have some condition on being a bully or being the kind of teacher who wants to keep someone down or satisfy their particular needs. This
right.
is why it's very important, you know? But
yeah.
you've got to have the right kind of standards in that household. If you have drug use, abuse, profanity, disrespect for others, general disobedience, smoking, drinking, lacking family values, non-supportive behaviors, if that's the standard in the household, that child would carry that outside the household as being the way to be.
Absolutely.
They want others to validate them in that kind of accepted norm.
In addition to the fact that when we talk about codependency, and listeners, I want you to really hear this clearly, is that I've talked about repression and how we can repress our emotions. And we're not even consciously aware that we're repressing our emotions, because repression is an unconscious or subconscious way of pushing things down inside of us so that we don't think about them anymore. And we disregard what's going on with our own needs. And we see this very often in group homes also, that people are part of group homes and working with people who are developmentally disabled, because this is a way of being needed, constantly being needed, and it becomes an unhealthy relationship if they're not being fed on an equal basis. So you're very, very clear with that, and I appreciate that. We have another caller on the line that's that might have a response to what we're saying here. Caller, we are looking at, it looks like you're calling in from 209, which is California. Okay, you're on air now. This is Professor Applewhite, and you're
good morning,
speaker,
Dr. Applewhite.
So. Good morning. It's good to hear from, what is your name?
My name is Kim.
Kim, I appreciate you calling in this morning. And you are calling in response to what we're talking about with codependency. And I'm going to say again to all of you beautiful mothers out there, even those that do not have children, that they've born themselves, but that they take care of other children, happy Mother's Day.
Oh, same to you all, too.
Do you have any response to some of the things that we've been saying today about codependency and this need to be needed? I'm sure
I just came online to hear you, so I was really kind of just enjoying a little bit of what I was hearing about codependency. It's a great topic today, so I hope many people are listening
right.
and getting an understanding of what codependency is about and how it could be positive and negative. So
yeah, you know what? You've got a good point there, because you know, now when you're talking about not being fed, when you have a negative relationship with somebody where there's abuse and destruction, then we already know that that's not a healthy relationship. But
right.
there are relationships where people do feed off of each other, and I believe one of our listeners talked about that, might have been Tom, that talked about that equality that you could have where both people get fed. But we got to remember that these are this is a behavioral and emotional condition that's usually ignored from childhood and repressed because we don't feel needed, we don't feel important in our families, our self-esteem has been affected, and so we grow up with this need to have other people need us, and we go into the work of group homes and being teachers and even being in the field of mental health across the board, because we want people to need us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us just want control.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
Well, yeah, I do agree. I think that many people in the field are in it for their own therapeutic reasons as well.
Yes.
And it does go hand in hand with, you know, the need of being needed and
yes.
then the need of just wanting to help people. So I think some of the people in the field are, you know, really there because they truly want to help people and see them do better.
Yes.
Unfortunately, when they leave from around so much support and so much positivity, I think I heard one of your other speakers saying, if they return back to the same area, nothing will change.
Yes.
So it's just very important that the changes continue to evolve from the adults,
mm-hmm.
primarily, and the professionals who know to be responsible. I mean,
and
when
that's
given
what
that,
we count on.
Right.
Yes, that's true. That's what we count on, is the adults and the professionals, and that's why it's so important for our teachers to understand that sometimes they ignore their own mental health conditions that may affect their success in the classroom.
Right.
Or their success with those that they choose to help. And so we have to make sure that we recognize that fine line between helping somebody and being needy for them to need us. Very
yes.
good point you're bringing out. Very good point.
Yes,
anyone
yes.
have a comment about what Kim has just said? I'm sure Tom has something to say on that or Nazim.
Well, I didn't really have anything to say about that specifically, but somebody told me in codependence, they were exaggerating, of course, but they said 94% of families are codependent and the other 6% are lying. Would, you know, that's not totally true statistics, but it proves a point that our family relationships, even
mm-hmm.
the healthy of them, have codependent tendencies
mm-hmm.
too. So it's not just a problem that a few people have. It's a very big problem.
I think that's what Nazim was related to, and that's why he dedicated a whole chapter in his book to codependency.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, I'll speak a little bit more on some of the other researchers that are out there in a minute. I think Nazim had something he wanted to add on.
Well, yeah, but I'll talk later on. Well, first of all, I'll say that there's a difference when we talk about codependency and we're talking about healthy interdependence between members or family members or workers or community members and so forth and so forth. So
yeah.
we can't confuse the two. When you have someone who's responsible to take care of certain certain part of the job, and you got to take care of a certain part of the same job, you depend on that person taking care of that position. So that's not
right.
codependency.
That's
a healthy interdependence. That's different.
Yeah.
And when you talk about codependency, you're talking about something that's not healthy, that you're
yeah.
enabling, and that you're covering up, and that you're in denial is a norm for you, and so forth. So that's a completely different thing entirely.
Right.
Oh,
like that.
Okay. Well, that's good you defined it, because I was going to mention
yes.
that earlier. We don't.
Yes.
We didn't have a
point.
Definition we were looking from.
Yes. And you know, one of the things that I really think is important for us to recognize is that when you talk about the great men, prophets, however you want to define the people who have been our spiritual leaders. From Jesus Christ to people who brought in Buddhism and Islam and all of the different religions, that they themselves had some codependency issues, but they were not, at least from the outside looking in, they do not look like they are codependent relationships, but they were dependent. They were defined by people needing to hear what they had to say. Now, is that unhealthy? I think that goes back to what Nazim was bringing out just a moment ago, is that it's not unhealthy to depend on someone when they're doing something that's going to truly help another individual.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when it gets to that unhealthy, grabbing onto someone and saying, you know, I need you to stay. Not even necessarily acknowledging alcoholism, but that they are an alcoholic. We can see their alcoholism, looking out from the outside in, and we know that they're being enabled. We know that there's a very unhealthy situation going in, and somebody is being abused. Somebody feels a destructive energy in the home. And because codependency is one of those mental health conditions that are learned, it's not passed on genetically. Okay, so it's not passed on to the genes. It's passed on through learning it by watching our parents or those caregivers that were responsible for us.
Mm-hmm. So, by the way, right there, Denise, if I can kind of jump in if I can.
Sure.
I'll give you a definition by Dr. Robert Burney, who is one of our leaders in the field of codependency. You know, and he quotes, "Codependency is an emotional defense system that is set up to protect the wounded inner child within us from the shame of being exposed as unlovable and unworthy, as stupid and weak, as a loser and failure, as whatever it was that we got the message was the worst thing to be. We were taught to evaluate whether we had worth in comparison to others, smarter than, prettier than, faster than, richer than, more successful than, thinner than, stronger than, etc." Unquote. I just want to leave that out there.
That is beautiful. There's many, many researchers that have looked at codependency as a way of explaining persons with this need to be needed. One of the most, I'd say, well-known people out there is Melody Beatty. She's a counselor, and you've heard of her, I'm sure. And Melody Beatty.
I quote her in my chapter.
Right. Well, wonderful, wonderful. Melody Beatty is wrote the book Codependent No More, and basically talks about this about the emotions that we repress that we don't even want to think about anymore. And so we have some signs, and I'll share them with our readers in just a moment, of how to identify codependency. But with 13 minutes remaining, I want to make sure that we have enough time to get everyone's comments in. Any further comments on what we've been talking about here?
Well, one thing you haven't mentioned, and mm-hmm. I think it exists, is codependent relationships where people interact with each other and it's unhealthy for both.
Mm-hmm.
Is there such a thing?
Mm-hmm. Can I say that once more?
Is there such a thing as where a relationship can be codependent, two people being codependent, and it's unhealthy for both of them? You make it sound like one side is healthy and the other one is.
Yeah, it's usually, you know, the definition is usually that it's a one-sided relationship.
Right.
That there's one person who is the enabler or the needy person, and then there's another person who has needs, but they're not express them in a way of please help me, but the other person just makes an assumption. You know, they assume she must need me, he must need me. And so they get into this toss off, and I'm not saying that couldn't happen, because that would make it a truly very, very unhealthy relationship. But I can assure you that if it's happening, that it wouldn't be happening at the same time. It's not simultaneous. It's one person's day to have their neediness fed, and then the next day, you know, the other person.
Right.
But the thing about it is really important to understand that really neither one really get their true needs met. Neither one, but they both suffer. This is why when you have codependency counseling, and the counselor always says, "Bring the whole family in here." Right. Bring all the family here, because everybody has some issues here. It's not one person. Everybody's suffering, and everybody is having a problem getting their needs met, because if one person is the primary focus point, then what happens is that they repress everybody else in that family. So everybody has a problem, and everybody's contributing to the problem. So they all get it. The typical alcoholic husband and the typical enabling wife, you might figure that the husband gets all their needs met. That's not true. They're not getting their needs met, neither is the wife. Neither one is. So they're both in trouble. That's important. They're both in trouble.
That's a very good point you make. Right. Going back to the statement that I made earlier on the show, is that I look at, and I hope that this encourages others, I look at the relationships that are that I have with people. And one of the things that I do my best to do is to have a mutually beneficial relationship. I hope you remember me saying something like that earlier. And a mutually beneficial relationship means that I truly benefit and the other person benefits from being in association with each other. And that's very, very important. And so if we don't have that, then it becomes so destructive that, you know, the whole family has to be involved. There's no way of even talking about treatment if the whole family's not involved, Nazim. So thank you very much for bringing that out, because or the other person. But many times, again, back to the title of the show, many people ignore mental health conditions. And codependency is just one of them that we're bringing out right now. We'll be doing a whole series of the most common conditions, mental health conditions that people ignore in our society. So please stay tuned every Saturday for the show.
Well,
anyone
Dr.
else?
Applewhite, can I leave one quote with you all before we end the show?
Yes, please.
That would go hand in hand with this codependency versus interdependency versus counterdependency, and we didn't get to that, so I'll definitely call on next week to talk about counterdependency, which goes hand in hand with interdependency and codependency. And listeners can look up those definitions. We encourage you to do that so that you're not confused about how these all tie together, because all of us deal with them globally. My quote for today is, great minds don't think alike. Great minds think for themselves.
Very good point, because we certainly want people.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and fathers out there who are mothers as well.
Yeah. Good idea to bring that up, because one of the things that I know that people will do out there is listen to the show today and say, well, that doesn't apply to me.
Absolutely.
You know, because I do think for myself, and I don't need anybody to need me. But think again. Think again.
Would you like me to repeat that quote one more time, Dr. Applewhite?
Yes, sure.
The quote of the day for us, and I hope all the listeners, please write this down if you don't have it. Great minds think alike. Don't think alike. Great minds think for themselves.
Very good point. And I have some, and Nazim, if you have this, I would appreciate you bringing this out, because I'm trying to get down to it and I'm having some technical difficulties coming to my, I had 10 signs that we need to look for in codependency. Do you have anything like that? There are some signs that we can look for.
Yes, I do. I'm going through the chapter. I'll put it on screen.
10
signs. Sure. I'm just scrolling through. But absolutely. La, 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 la. There's so many issues, and really, you know, counterdependency is very important. I'm glad the system brought that out. It's very important. I mentioned that in my chapter.
Yeah.
It's very important to talk about. And, okay, here we go. Matter of fact, Robert Burney's quote again. Here we go.
Robert Burney, okay.
Yeah, Robert Burney. He has listed family rules that may and most probably cause codependency. One, it's not okay to talk about problems. Two, feelings should not be expressed openly. Keep feelings to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Three, communications are best if indirect. One person acts as a messenger between two others. 4, be strong, men don't cry. 5, be good, right, and perfect. 6, make us proud beyond realistic expectations. Next, do as I say, not as I do. That's a good one.
Yes, that's, oh my goodness. That's a,
well, it's not okay to play, right, it's not okay to play or be playful. And don't rock the boat. Children are to be seen and not heard.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I think I used that somewhere last week when we were talking about bullying. That's right.
And the last one, girls are to be cute and quiet, and boys are to be strong, controlling, and not to express emotion. There you go.
Whatever.
Oh, that was fun. No, you hear that a lot. All of those things. Now, there's some other ones that I'll have to bring out next week because I just can't get to my list right now. But I want to say, in 13 minutes remaining here on the show, that we appreciate the many comments that have come out. And we know that those that are listening are not ignoring mental health conditions, that evidently, if you're listening out there and you stayed on the show, or you're going to listen to it later and share it with someone else, that there's something that you know that you need to address. And we want you to do that. We encourage you to look at some of the things that Nazim just said this now, some of the so-called red flags that you can see in your family history. Because remember, again, that codependency, outside of, there's a few others, like social phobias, and we'll talk about that next time, that are learned behaviors. But codependency is definitely learned by looking at those that take care of us, seeing teachers, seeing our mothers and fathers and our teachers working so hard that they never have time for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Men that have to be so strong, women that have to be a certain stereotype, that have to fit into a certain stereotype. When you see this, you can almost track that there may be a mental health condition underlying their actions that may affect their success, maybe not at the present moment. I think someone said, you can look at a person and they look fine, you know, on the outside, and you're wondering, you know, well, what could actually be wrong with them? Nothing. But that's why mental health is so important for us to look at. Not calling someone crazy, but acknowledging that, as I tell many people, Nazim, that and our listeners out there, that when you break a leg, you put a cast on it so it will heal. When you break the neurons in your brain, the cells in your brain, they don't grow back again, but they still need to be fixed. There's something happened in the connections, whether it was from birth or whether it was from a trauma. Okay? I'm sorry, Dorothy?
Oh, yes.
Still there. Okay, I'm going to have you really quickly take over from here because I didn't realize my switchboard says we have 13 minutes remaining and it's not necessarily picking up our calls. So if you've been calling in, please excuse and we'll try to get to everyone next week. We've got about 60 seconds left. Dorothy, anything real special you want to share with us this week?
I just want to share that I put a lot of thank yous and appreciations out there to our many supporters, and I put them on the website so other people can see them, and they can just take time and look at them anytime. So I'm just thankful, and I appreciate you so much, and I really enjoyed the show. And remember, the library is a place, and it's free.
That's right. Get all the information that you need out there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let us say much love and peace to all of you. We thank you for joining us on the Student to Teacher to Student. radio show on the internet. This is Professor Applewhite saying much love and peace.